Welcome. 5:59. You did good again. So now that I've got you to be here on time all three nights, surprise, we're going 3 hours. No, just. I tell you what, you have brought so much joy to me these past few days. The number of conversations, the emails you have sent, you have touched my heart. I hope I have touched your heart just a fraction of how you have blessed me during these days. I went home last night, and of course I think and I ponder, and I thought what I really loved last night was right at the beginning, we sang, "Lord, I lift your name on high." And I thought, can I do that constantly? So we sang it last night, we're going to sing it again tonight. "Lord, I lift your name on high." Please stand.
Don't be shy, sing it out. Here we go.
"Lord, I lift your name on high."
Beautiful, sing it out.
"Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high."
Beautiful. Let's just hear your voices. Here we go.
"Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us."
Sing it out, praise it.
"You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high."
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I want to begin this evening with a letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians. "Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to hold your ground. So stand fast with your loins girded in truth, clothed with righteousness as a breastplate, and your feet shod in readiness for the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and supplication, pray at every opportunity in the Spirit. To that end, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the holy ones, and also for me, that speech may be given me to open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, so that I may have the courage to speak as I must. These gatherings have been for the purpose of equipping ourselves to walk more faithfully with the Lord. C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." If Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our relationship with Him has to be the most important thing in our lives. If Jesus is not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then it doesn't matter. But the one thing it can't be is just somewhat important. We can't simply squeeze our prayer life in when it's convenient. Father Robert Rivers wrote a book published in 2005 called From Maintenance to Mission. And I quote, "As long as Catholics view baptism as an entitlement rather than a call to active discipleship, our parishes will continue to be fundamentally maintenance-oriented service stations that only take care of the needs of their own." The faith does not just stay in these walls. We are sent forth at the end of each and every Mass to be ambassadors of Christ. One of the simplest parish mission statements I've ever heard summed it up very succinctly, and it was easy to remember it. May you find Christ here. May you bring Christ to the world. Short and sweet. We come here to be nourished. I hope you have felt nourishment just from the presence of each other. A number of you have commented to me, "I don't remember ever having an event with this many people." That's the power of prayer. I look at you and I see an answer to 7 months of my prayer. I am not surprised you're here. God is faithful. How do we build on what has taken place here during these 3 nights and the weekend? Do we leave after tonight and everything goes back to the way it was? Or do we pick up the ball and go with it now? The staff met together today to pray. Powerful. We visited a while up in the conference room, and then we came down here and was quiet before the Lord. Those prayers are bearing fruit. I can't tell you last night how my heart was uplifted, because I don't know how many of you, when you walked in, told me you had prayed for me during the day yesterday. Wow. Can you imagine what happens to this faith community if we start intentionally praying for each other every day. You're seeing a glimpse of it right here, right now. I am humbled by the number of you who have shared struggles of one kind or another. I get it. I have struggled. I continue to struggle. I'm a work in progress. I know it's not easy. I know there are challenges. But I'm here to remind you, you do not walk alone. The God who created you and loves you walks with you. We walk with one another. And so I start with a basic question from Jesus in regard to prayer. And it's one that has hit me a couple times if I had to answer it honestly. And once again, last night I talked about questions. This is one of them. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? Years ago, when I worked in the Diocese of Cheyenne, our office was right next to the cathedral, and they had adoration one day a week. And so on that day, I usually tried to use part of my lunch hour to go over and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I had an hour for lunch, so I figured I'll go pray for 30 minutes. Still gives me 30 minutes for lunch. I used to take my rosary, take my Bible, have something to do while I was there. And I finally realized I'm always doing something. I'm going to go and sit and be present. And so this particular day, I took nothing with me. Here I am, Lord. And I sat there. And at one point, I'm thinking it must be time for lunch. So I look at my watch. I had been there a whole 12 minutes. What a wake-up call that was. I had forgotten how to be quiet before the Lord. I want to do all the talking when I'm praying. Yes, I'm an introvert, but sometimes I want to talk. God, this is how it should be. Things go a lot better when I listen. That's been a hard skill for me to learn. But when I recognized that I was sitting there 12 minutes and it felt like over a half hour, something was wrong with my internal well-being. And so that began the start of trying to rectify that. I don't know what your challenges are in your particular life, but I would like to cover three different aspects of some challenges to prayer. First one is temptations from the devil. Do you ever get that feeling that somebody's whispering to you, man, prayer is difficult? You don't know how to pray. You ever get the sense that God's not listening to me anyway? I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, no answer. That's a temptation. God's timing is not always our timing. And let's face it, sometimes the answer is no. Temptations from the world. Put off prayer to a later hour. You got things to do right now. How many times have we gotten to the end of the day and it's like, okay, I'm so exhausted. Oh, I still haven't prayed my rosary. I'll start and fall asleep during the first decade. Not a bad way to go to sleep, being with the Lord, but were there opportunities earlier? One that I have struggled with through the years. prayer is less necessary than action. That's a temptation from the world. We're a productive society. Do something. Our productivity is amplified when we pray first. That's a hard lesson to learn for some of us. Then there are some temptations from ourselves. How is sin in your life impacting your ability to pray? You think, well, I'm so stuck in sin, God won't hear me. I repeat something I said last night. We hear about mercy and forgiveness, and God is mercy and forgiveness. But there's a need for repentance on our part. Are we truly sorry for our sins? How about that firm purpose of amendment when we pray the act of contrition? Do we mean it? Pride. The foundation of prayer is humility. We recognize that God is God and we are not. But the manner in which we approach prayer, do we sometimes use God like a slot machine? I put my prayer in and I expect the jackpot. Or do we truly approach in humility? Now I'm going to cover some of Mother Teresa's list of humility here in a moment. But another temptation from ourselves is our senses. Seemed like when I was a child, I heard big words that I didn't understand at the time, but mortification of our senses. A couple people have mentioned to me that yesterday I mentioned custody of thought. How about all of our senses? Custody of our eyes. We live in a world that bombards us with some images that are not really helpful to us. Do we maintain custody of what we're looking at? How about our tongues? Do we maintain custody of our tongues? I know the holidays are coming up and we're spending time with extended family members, and there are some of them that tend to be that thorn in the side. Do we pull one of our other relatives aside and have a good 15-minute complaint conversation about that individual? It doesn't help anyone. And the struggle is real. I get it. But think about mortification of our senses. How do we maintain pure custody? And finally, a temptation from ourselves, lack of faith. Have you ever thought about the scripture passage when Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith"? And think about, okay, was he looking at me? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd say to this tree, "Be upplanted and rooted and uprooted and planted into the sea." How many trees have you planted into the sea lately? But do we have faith when we pray? For those of you who have the rosary as a daily prayer, those first three Hail Marys, when you pray for an increase of faith, hope, and love, or faith, hope, and charity, do you really pray for that increase? It's another one of those things that we know the ritual. But my dear people, if you want an increase of faith, ask for it like you mean it. If you struggle with hope, ask for that virtue like you really want it. If you struggle being kind to those around you, ask for that gift of charity and love so that you can be a beacon of light to a world that needs your witness. Fort Collins and Larimer County all need our witness. By two wings, a person is lifted above earthly things, simplicity and purity. Simplicity looks toward God. Purity takes a hold of him and tastes him. Simplicity and purity and humility. I want to cover Mother Teresa's. I didn't bring them all. I pulled out 11 of them. How do we grow in humility in our day-to-day life, in all things, so that we're more humble when we come to the Lord in prayer? Mother Teresa's list are quite challenging here. She said, speak as little as possible about yourself. When you have a conversation with someone, do you make yourself the center of the conversation? I heard a funny story years ago. We'll call him Bob. I don't remember what the guy's name was, but we'll call him Bob. So if there's a Bob in here, too bad for you. Bob was promoted to vice president at his company. And Bob was going around telling anyone who would even look like they're listening, I am vice president now. His wife was getting a little irritated. She said, Bob, stop being such a jerk. You're alienating everybody we know. But I'm vice president now. I've worked hard. I've earned this. She said, Bob, it's not that big of a deal. Bob is getting really upset. He's still going around telling people, I am now vice president at my company. Finally, one day his wife had enough. She said, Bob, it's not that big of a deal. They have a vice president of peas at the grocery store. Now he was really aggravated at her. He picks up his phone, calls the grocery store. I'll show you. I'd like to speak to the vice president of peas. The voice on the other end of the line said, fresh or frozen? Hey, if we don't get humility ourselves, somebody else will give it to us, huh? Do not interfere in the affairs of others. Sometimes do we want to be nosy and get involved in things we shouldn't be? Number three, accept small irritations with good humor. How quickly do we get agitated when something doesn't go well? Number four, do not dwell on the faults of others. Think about one of the worst decisions you've ever made in your life. Think about all of the negative consequences that resulted from that decision. How miserable did things really get? Now I ask you, do you want your entire life to be judged on that one instance? If we don't want to be judged on our worst day, let's not do it to others. Can we offer some grace? I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older and tired, but all of the games, when I look back over life, how much time has been wasted on so many irrelevant things. Number five, accept insults and injuries. If somebody insults you, even if it's not accurate, are we able to accept it? Pray for them. Do you give in to the will of others? How many of our marriages would be enhanced if we did that a little more effectively? Number seven, accept contempt, being forgotten, and disregarded. How many times have you done something well, whether it's at work or at home, and not a soul noticed? What's our reaction to that? You do good work at work, somebody else takes the credit. What's our reaction? Number eight, be courteous and delicate even when provoked by someone. Kind of like watching some of the NFL games lately where even the security guy on the side gets involved. Can we be courteous and delicate even when we're provoked? If you have a customer service type of job and deal with people all day long, first of all, God bless you. But wow, what an opportunity to learn patience, huh? But for all of us. Number nine, do not seek to be admired and loved. We all want to be loved. But do we go out and make that our quest? Please love me. If we're living the humble life as Mother Teresa certainly did, love comes to us. Give in discussions, even when you are right. I want to win. Give in even when you're right. And finally, the last one I picked from Mother Teresa's list, choose always the more difficult task. Think about sometimes in different organizations, Knights of Columbus, Lions Club, Kiwanis, you name it. Sometimes when different events are happening, probably especially when cleanup time comes and people just vanish. How many times do we go to something and choose the most difficult task because we recognize it as an opportunity to grow in holiness and humility? A reporter one time said to Mother Teresa, "I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million." And she said, "Neither would I." We're doing it for the glory of God and God's people. The reason I share that list with you is because our ability to grow in humility will impact the way we pray. And the way we pray helps us to put on the full armor of God. So now back to praying. When you pray, do you experience a relationship of love? I think that might even be harder for men. But when you pray, is it just something where, whether you're using your prayer book, your Bible, your rosary, and not to say that prayer is all about feelings, prayer is a decision. It's a grace that requires a response from us. But when you're praying, do you feel in relationship with Jesus Christ? Once again, I didn't go through the Bible and count them, but I heard or read somewhere that 1,000 times in sacred scripture it says it is the heart that prays. It must be pretty important. How do I handle dryness and distraction in prayer? If you've done any reading of the lives of the saints, you've seen a number of them write about their challenges with prayer and the dryness that sometimes take place. Do you ever pray day after day after day and you don't feel anything? Do you make the decision to keep praying? And if you've done any study on consolation and desolation, and Father Timothy Gallagher at the beginning of his process on the Hallow App, it goes through that pretty thoroughly. There are times when God blesses us immensely with consolation. But I know in my own life, there's a whole lot of time where I don't feel it. But we have to keep praying. What are your motives for prayer? Is it a check off on your to-do list? Is it, well, I grew up, they told me I'd do this or I'd go to hell? Or do you really enter into prayer wanting to engage in that relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Same question I asked you the other day, what motivates you for worship? Why do you come here on Sunday? Well, now what motivates you to pray in your personal prayer life? Once committed to conversion, the heart learns to pray in faith. I guess if there's one message I want to get to you tonight, it is that. Pray in faith. Believe. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will. That doesn't sound very vague. Believe that you will receive it, and you will. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. We hear these words so many times. Are they not impacting us? That has been my one dream, I guess, for these three nights together, is simply to raise your awareness of some of the things that may have just become routine, even monotonous. How do we refresh and renew our journey? The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2725, says prayer is both a gift of grace and a determined response on our part. So the very fact that you're here tonight is a gift of grace. God has touched your heart to come here. Now, what do we do with it? Is that response on our part? This isn't just an observation sport. We're participants. Paul Wilkes wrote a book called The Seven Secrets of Successful Catholics. It was seven chapters, one for each success. I'll save you the time of reading the book, and I'll give you the seven secrets of being a successful Catholic. Successful Catholics stay close to the Eucharist. My dear people, when you come to Holy Communion, you are receiving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you come to Eucharistic adoration and sit quietly before the Lord, do you feel the gaze of the Lord looking back at you? Stay close to the Eucharist, source and summit of our faith. Number two, successful Catholics are members of a faith community. We do not journey alone. And so for all of us, and including our guests from other parishes, at least for this short time, you're part of our faith community. We thank you for being here, and we join together. Successful Catholics are members of a faith community. I would probably only do one thing, and I would add one word: active members of the community. Be part of this. Number three, successful Catholics rely on their conscience and good judgment, but never alone. We walk with other people. We have spiritual directors. We have mentors. We have, you know, men's groups, women's groups. We walk together. And to use your conscience and good judgment, what are you doing to form your conscience correctly? What are you studying? Number four, successful Catholics regularly do things that call them out of themselves. When was the last time you moved out of your comfort zone to do something for the faith? Maybe it's being here for this. But seriously, when was the last time you felt yourself stretched for the faith? Whether it's to live out the spiritual or corporal works of mercy, whether it's doing something extremely generous that you normally wouldn't do, something. For Christmas, give yourself the gift of moving out of your comfort zone in some shape or fashion. Watch God bless you in that process. Number five, successful Catholics always remember that God is ultimately merciful and forgiving. I don't have the time to go through it, but in Curcio, there's a talk given on the three glances of Christ. If you go through the whole process, you read the scripture readings connected with it, and then there's some reflection questions and things, but I would just like to give you the three glances. How does Jesus look at Peter after he denies him three times and the cock crows? The rich young man, all these things I have done through my whole life. And the scripture says, Jesus looks at him, loves him, and says, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Can you imagine what that look of love was? And finally, at the betrayal of Judas, what was that look? Do you ever think about, scripture says Judas went into the dark. That always strikes me. He went to the dark and ended his life. What would have possibly been different if Judas had went to the light, to Jesus? God is ultimately merciful and forgiving. Please know that wherever you are in regard to your holiness or lack thereof at this moment in time, you are in this church right now for a purpose. And that is because God is calling you closer. Don't miss the call. Number six, successful Catholics live in the moment, recognizing daily opportunities for holiness. Last night I used the term opportunities for conversion. In your day-to-day life, household chores, whatever it is that you might find kind of on Mother Teresa's list, one of the worst tasks, how do you grow in holiness? And finally, number 7, successful Catholics believe in prayer and they pray regularly. It's not enough to believe in the power of prayer. You have to do it. And that's part of why here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we've made this concerted effort to awaken that desire for prayer in our lives with the Hallow app and with this parish mission. Our desire is for God to bestow his grace upon us, and the avenue that brings that grace is the gift of prayer. I hope these nights have awakened your desire for prayer. And so through all of this, we are putting on the full armor of God. We are sent forth into a world that is sometimes hostile to people of faith. That's okay. Jesus told us it would be, if they hated him, they would, if they hated us, they hated him first. My dear people, we're called to be faithful. And so my prayer for you tonight is putting on that full armor of God, but utilizing the words of sacred scripture and St. Pope John Paul II, be not afraid. It's not always easy, I get it. But be not afraid. I would like to ask you just to calm yourself for one moment here and just listen to the refrain.
Be not afraid, I go before you always, come follow me, and I will give you rest.
There are times in the journey we may get tired. I have shared that with you in my own journey. Come to me, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Sometimes I think we forget about those special aspects of Jesus caring for us in some very intimate ways. Before I close with prayer, anytime I travel and do parish missions in parishes where I am not connected or being assigned as a deacon, I always give the pastor a chance to speak words to his people, and if they're embarking on any particular endeavors, to give them next steps. Even though this is my home parish, I still asked Father to offer any words that he would like as shepherd of this flock. And so after Father speaks, and we will close with Psalm 150 again and the final blessing. Father.
It does my heart immense joy to see each one of you here. When we do something like this, because of my lack of faith, you always think, how many people? Nah, people aren't going to come. And God always has to take a time to beat me over the head and remind me that this is not about me, but about his work. And so to see each one of you here is a privilege, because to see each one of you here is to see the work of God, is to see the face of God. And I wanted Deacon, one of Deacon's first questions was, are we moving closer or farther from the Lord? And in my own spiritual life, I caught myself moving farther from the Lord. And it's amazing how God is immensely merciful and kind, because God didn't let me move too far. Just far enough to recognize my own stupidity. But in moving farther from the Lord, and I'm sharing my heart with you, because I want each of us to know that this is a journey. Faith is a journey that each of us are on. Just because I'm the priest and the pastor does not necessitate the fact that somehow I am farther along on the journey than you are. And in fact, in many cases, you are farther than I. But this is a journey together. And so I found myself spiritually far from the Lord, and the Lord found a way to stretch out his hand. Not just for love of me, but for love of this parish. And the Lord began a work, and I want to give witness to that work, because today we are seeing the fruit. These days we are seeing the fruit of the work of God. And this work that God began when I was born, but I mean this recent work that God has been doing, it has begun in these last couple of years, to see really how God has put together everything we needed so that this parish can be a place of encountering, of people having a relationship with God. That is our desire for this parish. Our desire for this parish is not how many people sit in these pews. It's not quantity. It is the fact of every person who comes into this church. Do they have a personal relationship with God? Do they understand that they are a son and daughter who is loved in an immense way by God? And my dear brothers and sisters, that is the work that the Holy Spirit has been doing here. You may have noticed that we are doing things here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton a little differently. And sometimes you may think, well, that's probably because Father got some bug up his shirt, and so things are different. He had nothing better to do, and so he's stirring things up. And my dear brothers and sisters, trust me, I have a lot of lot better things to do. I'm not looking to find ways to torture people. But this is the culmination, the work of the Holy Spirit, and everything that has been happening in this parish is a work of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for each one of us every day is that we are alive to that. We are able to sense that, because I have seen God work powerfully in this parish. I have seen God act in this parish. And I know that God wants to act in each one of your lives. The question is, are we willing to take a chance on the Lord? Are we willing to go deeper into our prayer lives? Are we willing to grow in our relationship with God? Are we willing to let God love us? And I hope and pray that these days, these opportunities that we have as a parish to grow in our relationship with God, that we take advantage of them. We have said to you many times, I can only take you to the water. We can't force you to drink it. But darn it, I can tell you that water is life-giving. But you have to be willing to take the steps to drink. My prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, for you is that, and for myself, is that we will always take the chance to drink. That we will always take the chance to love the Lord, to grow in relationship. Now, this work that the Lord has done is not a work that has been done by myself. And I think it's important that we understand this. And part of the work that the Holy Spirit has been doing here is because God has built a team to help me lead this parish. And I think it's important. They're going to kill me right now. And they're going to claw me in tomorrow. Well, thank God it's Immaculate Conception, so they have to be nice to me. And they can't say mean things because I introduced them. But I want you to see, you've seen them, but I want you to see the team. So I'm going to invite them to stand. Vanessa Schibler, where are you? There's Mary Peacock, Debbie Gavato, Deacon Rob, who is standing in the back, Deacon Don, who might not have been able to be here, Deacon Rick. This is a team that God put together now 2 years ago, by chance, not because I chose them, not because we're the best, but because this is what God wanted. And we are working every day tirelessly to help this parish encounter God through prayer. And so everything that you see, so now you understand that this is not Father Joe. No, there is a family here. We are a family. And I want to recognize the work that the Holy Spirit has been doing through these men and women. I also want to take a moment to thank the greater family staff who have made these nights possible. There were people who were up at 2 a.m. trying to figure out how are we going to feed these people in 45 minutes. I don't know if you've ever tried to feed 300 people in 45 minutes. It is not a minor task. No. So to all of the people who helped in the kitchen, to all of the people who served, to the greater parish family, thank you. To all of you who brought desserts, God bless you and thank you. To Deacon Vern, and to all of my deacons, I always say I am the luckiest pastor this side of the Mississippi. You will not find 4 better deacons in this country than the 4 that I have here. I am famous at the Archdiocese, and that's not always a good thing, but I am famous at the Archdiocese for saying and being taken very seriously that in order to move or touch any one of these deacons, they would have to walk over my dead, cold corpse. And let me tell you something. They remember it every time they see me. And my famous saying is, don't ever touch my deacons. They know. I am extremely, extremely blessed to have these four men working with me in service to the Lord. So, Father is done talking, but to say thank you for each one of you for taking a chance these three nights and coming here. My prayer is that the work that the Lord has begun, because now this is a beginning of the work, that it may be brought to completion. And it will be brought to completion little by little by God's grace.
So with that, I close with one final question. Five frogs are sitting on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many frogs are sitting on the log? There are still five, because there's a difference between deciding to do something and actually doing it. What is the commitment you are making to yourself as you are sent forth tonight? This is the beginning of the transformation of God's love among his people here. So before I close with Psalm 150, I would just like to remind you, Father Joe and Father Tom will be in the confessionals. Father Raj will be back in the vesting sacristy right outside the door. The prayer teams will be set up here in front like they were last night. I highly encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities. Do we have tech help out back? Technical help is going to be available in the back if you're still trying to download the Hallow app. All right. How about if you stand and join me in prayer? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia. Praise God in his holy sanctuary. Give praise in the mighty dome of heaven. Give praise for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his great majesty. Give praise with blast upon the horn. Praise him with harp and lyre. Give praise with tambourines and dance. Praise him with flutes and strings. Give praise with crashing cymbals. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath give praise to the Lord. Alleluia. Heavenly Father, we bring this parish mission to a close this evening. We thank you for the abundant graces you have poured upon this people gathered here before you. Continue to inspire and motivate us. Continue to fill us with wisdom, grace, and holiness. Give us clarity of discernment. Help us to grow in humility, patience, and purity. O Lord, the prayer that I've been asking for many months, I continue to ask for this people. Meet each individual at the point of his or her need. Lord, we lift your name on high as we make our prayer to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You are one God forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for your presence here. God bless you in your Advent journey.